Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swapcast Podcast. Every episode we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you, except today, because it's time for another tenuous swap episode. So on our main show, each of us will always recommend a piece of media that is tenuously linked with the film we review on that episode. So now we have forced one of our co-hosts to watch one of our recommendations. So today we'll be looking at the cult classic musical, The Apple, the incest-fueled horror remake, Cat People, and the indie comedy, Shiver Baby. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Face Off. So, if you listen to our last Tenuous Swap episode, where we announce what we're going to do on the next one, you're probably expecting us to review It's Pat the Movie and a whole bunch of other movies like I Smile Back. And that was our
But sometimes lost we episode. Just like to delete episodes and just throw them out the window. Isn't that right, guys?
Well, one of us does. that was our lost episode. And we're not going to record it again. So sorry, guys, if you really want to know what we thought of It's Pat the Movie and I Smile Back and one other film I can't remember, too bad.
Well, wait. We could give him like one sentence, right?
Okay. Lucy, what did you think of It's Pat the Movie?
Problematic. AF.
Oh, no. What did Brendan think of I Smile Back?
Okay.
And what did I even have for that?
Infinite Man?
Oh, yeah. Infinite Man. I enjoyed that. Yeah, I would recommend it.
So, right.
There you go.
Great.
There you go.
Out of the way.
Yeah. All right. So, to this week's batch of movies. There ain't no good. First up the rank is Brendan. He was given the 1980 cult musical The Apple by me, who recommended it on our Brother Bear episode. The Apple is set in the far future of 1994, where a music label, run by Satan himself, uses a music competition to rule the masses. So, why did I recommend this to Brendan? Because this film is batshit and I think he might have appreciated that. I'm hoping he did. It's one of the craziest movies I've ever seen, and it's stupid and weird and individual. And I know that he doesn't like watching generic cookie cutter movies that he's seen a million times. So I hope this fit the bill. Brendan, would have you ever watched this film if I didn't recommend it to you?
In the intro, you were saying forces our... our co-host to watch something, and this definitely would not have been watched. Like,
I'm thinking otherwise. That about the movie I made Paul watch. Oh God, this is
like I'm not a musical person. Like I like music, but particularly this is definitely a stage show turned musical, or at least I think you were saying on the Brother Bear episode that this was going to be a musical, but it was just so...
Do you mean like a stage production, do you mean?
Yeah, they wanted to bring this to Broadway, but it was so, like, intricate and huge and nobody would fund it, so they decided to make it into a movie instead.
Yeah, like, the lore of this world is, like, you could do, like, you know, a J.R. Tolkien bloody tomb on... all the stuff that's going on in the background that we don't get to at all in this story, really. So, yeah, I can understand why they didn't go with the musical Broadway production. Yeah.
So now that you've watched it, did you enjoy The Apple?
Like you said, I like stuff that's I haven't seen before. It was ambitious. Like, this was a crazy movie. I know what you mean. Like, watching it, I was like, what the fuck is this universe? Like, we're in Berlin and it's like the... It seems like it's the capital of the world. Yeah. And for some reason, the government and a record label seem to be like...
in cahoots?
Merged into one.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even cahoots. I couldn't tell where the record label began and the authoritarian, the authoritarian like regime like began as well. It was really like frustrating me, but also I was like also... I had the moments of like joy of like, this is... so dumb. I wish I watched it with you, Paul, because I think that would have made this a much more enjoyable experience.
I actually, like, I hope that one day when, like, COVID's a bit less of a thing, I'm going to have an Apple party and I'm going to force a whole bunch of people to watch this film. And, you know, if there's any film that invites a bit of drug use while watching, like, I'm definitely going to encourage people to BYO if they want to, because, like, there's entire songs dedicated to drugs in this.
Drugs.
There's a song called Speed, where she's like, speed, everybody wants speed.
It's America and we're doing drugs. Yeah.
This movie is fucking batshit. I was rewatching it and then I was like, have I gone too far? Because there's shit in this film. I forgot how incredibly gay this film is. And it's like, there's like this sex scene.
Which is a whole musical number.
Yeah, it's a sex scene musical number where all these like shirtless mustachioed men in gold like speedos are like having choreographed like calisthenic sex with all routine. These girls.
That sounds like the thing from Euphoria. That's just a tidbit from me.
It puts that to shame.
Which is a drug trip in itself, right?
But this film is like if you took Rocky Horror Picture Show and Xanadu and made them have like drug-fueled sex with each other, it would be this film.
That sounds amazing.
With the addition of Eurovision. Yes. Like,
wow, that truly is a fever dream that Paul has had, I'm sure.
Because, literally Eurovision runs the world. We start with this giant world battle of the bands kind of thing. And it, like, monitors the pulse, the heart rate, the attention spans and the eyes of everyone watching to decide who's going to be the winner of it. And the our protagonist and his love interest, they get on stage and they start singing a song about love and people are furious.
Because in the future, like, love is out of fashion. So whatever's not in fashion, people will, like, rise against. So everyone starts like furiously booing them.
But then they start to like it, and they like break the monitoring Richter scale of all these attention span.
It sounds made up.
And then like everything's soaked in some sort of like idea that they're trying to like convey, but it's all just like been crumpled into like the one trash can of this movie. And I don't know what they were trying to say. Like I said, there's the song about America and it's a love affair with drugs. And then Satan literally is the record label. And the contract is the apple that Eve eats. And I don't know what's going on in this film. That was probably the most frustrating part, is how much song numbers there are, and I still couldn't make sense of, like, the ending. A guy comes.
God comes.
I'm I assume it's God. Yeah, it's a guy in like an invisible car. I love how flies.
Confused Lucy looks right now.
Because the people of the 60s are still alive and they're all still hippies, even though it's 1994, and they're like lead a love revolution against the authoritarian government.
Sure.
And you got to wear stickers, otherwise you get arrested.
And Miriam Margolyes is in this movie for some reason. And they're having like a heartfelt moment, and then he just grabs her tits for no reason.
So the only thing I have to, like, Paul, you said when you like recommended this on our show that the music was really good. And I don't know if I can agree. There was a few songs I had a good time with. But it still very much had that like show tunes kind of vibe to a lot of the music.
Are you bagging show tunes?
Yes. I'm just saying it's not
it's
me.
It's definitely like more of a 70s psychedelic disco vibe than a normal show tune style Broadway show.
More like Hair than musical.
For some.
Yeah. Or Rocky Horror. Like I think they were trying for Rocky Horror.
Mm.
But they did do like, I don't know, the BIM song and stuff. Feels very stage show.
Hey, hey, and hey. What about show? BIM is the way. It's a good song.
What could that possibly be about? Like, just hearing you sing that is like, what is that?
The Apple, like the title song, you gotta admit that was fucking catchy.
No, that was probably my least favorite. My favorite? No, the Master song? That was probably my favorite.
But,
that's probably your worst.
I knew you would like it. Because of the way it sounds, is very Brendan. But it's very, I don't think they could ever stage that song nowadays. Well, with the car.
That it's good to be a master.
Yeah, and it's literally.
Being a slave master.
Yeah, because it's Satan singing it about being a good slave master. And then there's like some like black protagonist, like other people singing like the chorus about like, yeah, he's such a good master. I don't think that would go down well anymore.
But I meant like the song's like got a bit of a calypso kind of JoJo Zep and the Falcons sort of vibe.
Sounds made up.
All right. So would you think that this is better than Brother Bear, which is the film it was linked from?
How was it linked?
Because they're both musicals.
Both musicals.
That's right. Brother Bear was a musical. Right. Sure.
Tell everybody I'm on my way.
That's right.
Who was that?
Phil Collins.
Yeah, like Phil Collins versus
random 70s drug users.
I'm going with Brother Bear. I still had a better time. Like I enjoyed the film Brother Bear opposed to this, where like actually I will say like the production, the design of the world and stuff, I actually loved like every like set, every costume, the like glass mirror, like angular trumpets and stuff. Like it was all really fun to see.
It definitely continues the trend of all the films we watch set in the future where everything's translucent,
like Logan Run and
where
stuff.
Everything's see-through. Like at one point she has a suitcase and it's see-through. It's like that's the least useful thing I've ever seen. it definitely makes very good use of a pre-Berlin Wall coming down Berlin. Like it's just a cool otherworldly looking city at that point, and you can see why they decided to make it the future. So I think Lucy, don't watch it until we can watch it together, but everyone else go out and watch The Apple is my recommendation. But like do it with friends and do it with substances if you can.
So it's the most like straight edge dude ever.
Save me. Only you can stop this killing. You've got to make love with me. As brother and sister. I've searched for you for so long, from one foster home to another. We can live together as mates, just as our parents did. You do know that they were brother and sister, don't you?
Next up is myself. I was given the 1982 horror remake Cat People by Lucy, who recommended it on our Nine Lives, aka Mr. Fuzzy Pants episode.
So that's like way, way, way back.
A second episode that we ever did. In the film, an orphan finds out that she is part of an ancient race of people who turn into leopards whenever they are sexually aroused, and has to decide if she can prevent killing innocent men by making the ultimate sacrifice, having sex with her brother.
Turning red? Rip this off?
This is a body swap.
It was, and I was watching that. I was like, we probably should do this as an actual episode.
Did I say that at the time? Or had we not really established that that was... Oh, no, because we watched Mr. Fuzzy Pants. Yeah, okay. I kind of forgot that.
Yeah, so at the time you were like, we should do this as a normal episode.
Yeah.
And I think we could probably still do it in the future. But let's do like the mini version now.
Sure. The teaser.
So why did you recommend this to me?
I don't know. And I've had a stressful day. It's like been a COVID scare. Everything's fine. I forgot we were even recording this episode. So I had to like marathon watch my movie. And then I was like, fuck, I recommended Cat People to Paul. And then I literally wrote down Cat People question mark. I wrote David Bowie. Sex, incest, question mark. Is this a body swap? So I don't, I don't know why I recommended this movie. Is it even good? Like,
written and directed by Paul Schrader.
Yeah, so it's an amazing director, like the director of fucking Taxi Driver.
I think like, as well, because this is the second episode we ever did. This is my recommendation. I was like, oh, I'm going to pick something like out there. And, tenuous episodes weren't a thing. I was like, no one else going to fact check this. This is fine.
So have you actually watched this film?
Yes, but not since I saw it, which I would have been maybe 20 years old. And I think, like, it's got cult status because it's got Natasha What's-Her-Name in it and the David Bowie soundtrack. I've actually got the soundtrack on vinyl.
Yeah.
So I think that's very iconic. But, yeah, it is very heavily incest-laden, yeah. Is it?
Yes.
What?
Yeah,
It's about a
guy trying to have sex with his sister very aggressively and her trying not to.
Like, oh, my God. I'm sorry.
look, would I...
And pause
on. Did you see the camp factor? It's pretty, like, it's pretty iconic, right? Am I wrong or...?
Would I have watched this without your recommendation? Probably, because there's a lot of talent behind this film.
Yes.
Like, the soundtrack, Giorgio Moroder did the score, so it's, like, this really, like, synth, really cool score. Like, the theme song by David Bowie, really cool. Great cast, directed by, like, a legend. And for the most part, I enjoyed it.
Okay.
It's not, like, a masterpiece by any stretch.
No.
And I didn't have time, but I've heard that the film it's actually remade from, the 1942 version, is supposed to be actually a lot better.
And we could do that for the podcast.
Let's do that one.
Yeah, maybe we should do that one.
Maybe there'll be less incest in that because it was made in, like, the 40s or whatever. So it's like...
Yeah. Well, I've heard the 40s version is gayer than this. Like, this one's not gay at all. This one's very hetero. And it's like... And we're talking about male gaze. Like, this is so male gazey. Like, there's a one scene where, like, a girl's about to be, like, killed by one of the cats. And for no reason at all, her bra just pops open and her boobs come out.
Oh, that happens to me all the time. That's not fair. Yeah.
It's a cool movie. Like, I enjoyed it. It's probably about 20 minutes too long. I could see, like, a really cool... like 90-minute version of this, and there's a few things that just don't make sense when you think about them. There's a few scenes that like happen and then they're never addressed again. You're like, and the ending feels very like misogynist and kind of wrong. So I don't want to ruin it because maybe the same thing happens in the original. So for when we watch the original on the show.
Sure. And also I've fucking seen this film and I can't even remember. So
look, I could like the vibe of it. I can definitely see why you would have enjoyed it back in the day. And you probably would still enjoy it. It's got like a young John Hurd looking like sexy as fuck.
That's right.
Yeah. So there was
who's
a
the
lot
other
of,
guy
lot to enjoy.
In it as well?
It's got Malcolm McDowell in it.
Yes.
He plays the incest brother.
Yes.
And a young Ed Begley Jr.'s in this.
Oh my God, really?
Getting his arm ripped off. Yeah, it's a fun watch. I think people would enjoy this film, and I can see why it's got a reputation. It's very sexy and moody, and yeah, It's horny as fuck. It's definitely the horniest film you've ever recommended.
That's why I recommended it to you.
Brendan, does any of this sound appealing to you?
Paul Schrader, I feel like I've watched stuff of his and I've loved it. And then I've watched stuff of his and I've been like, that was a slog. So I'm interested in this one, but maybe I should just go straight to the
OG.
To the 1940s one.
Yeah.
Although I like a horny film just as much as anyone.
Did I enjoy this film more than Mr. Fuzzy Pants? Yes. I would recommend people watch this for sure.
Cool. There you go. I also feel like this is a film that, you know, if you were going to partake in some substances, maybe you would do it to this film.
Yeah. Do it to everything. That's what we're condoning.
All right, Encanto. Yeah.
I'm sure there's people that do it to Encanto. I'm sure of it.
Oh, Mom, I can't eat that.
Why not?
I'm vegetarian.
You're killing me.
I've told you it so many times.
You have not eaten a single thing all day.
That's because we just got here.
You look like Gwyneth Paltrow on food stamps.
Oh, my God.
And not in a good way.
All right. Finally, we have Lucy. She was given the film Shiver Baby by Brendan, who recommended it on our Locas por el Cambio episode. In the film, a woman is horrified to discover, when she is forced to attend a shiver with her family, that the man she has been having an affair with is also in attendance. So, Brendan, why did you recommend this to Lucy?
I recommended it to Lucy because I felt like recommending a comedy. And I guess this, it's a comedy, but it's also, like, for me anyway, tense as fuck as well. But it has, like, some really fun characters, and a lot of women characters, which I feel like she appreciates often, seeing more of that, as well as the writer, the director, all that being a fairly female heavily led production. So yeah, I thought she might appreciate it on some sort of level, but hopefully thought she might have a good time when she has to spend an hour and a half dealing with this podcast.
So hilariously, like I said, I had to rush and watch this movie, which, can you believe, like, of all the films, like, this movie is so stressful.
Yeah.
And it's, like, almost, I think, nearly set in real time. Is that what you call that?
Yeah, I would say so.
And so it just, yeah, it really did a number on me. I can't say I laughed. It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Like, yeah, it's not a laugh out loud. No. I feel like it's like a cringe because you're like, oh, like, you're like, that tension makes you like all sort of like, oh,
yes,
like you're sort of wither through it. And like, until it gets sad, I found it quite funny. Like, I'm like, yeah. Oh, no.
So, Lucy, would have you watched this film if Brendan didn't recommend it to you?
Well, I hadn't heard of it before, but I think if I like caught wind of it, I might have, yeah. But, yeah, it wasn't something that I had heard of. So thanks for the reco.
Yeah.
Does that mean you had a good time being stressed out?
I mean, I don't know if you could call it a good time, but I'm glad to I'm glad to have seen it. It was a good movie, yeah. It was cool, like, sometimes, like, a small idea is a good thing. It was just, like, about this one event and nearly set in one location. And it was just how all that played out. I really appreciated that. Like, I could imagine it being a short story or like a play even.
Well, yeah, that's the origins of it. It was like a short film that was turned into a feature.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually with South Australian funding. So, like, this was a South Australian film festival grant movie.
How?
One of the producers is from Adelaide. So
there you go.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. There you go.
So, homegrown talent.
There you go.
Or homegrown money.
I think this is a film that really, like, highlights its cast. I think, like, especially the main actress, Rachel Stennett, I think this film will put her on the map. Like, I thought she was great.
Yeah, she was good.
Well, yeah, I feel like everyone, if they weren't as strong as they were, it just wouldn't be the same. Like, I really loved the mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
you know, the father's a character in himself, which is great. I can't remember that guy's name, but he's always
Fred
hilarious.
Melamed, and he's been in tons of things from like WandaVision and heaps of stuff.
It's funny, I'm looking at all my notes and everything I've written is in capital letters. I feel like that tells you like where my temperature was while I was watching it.
Whenever I recommend this to someone, I'm often like, it's like a mini Uncut Gems, which is another very
stressful
film.
And I still haven't
watched
that because I don't want to be stressed out.
The thing is, like, I enjoyed this film overall. My biggest criticism of the film would probably be its musical score, because it's obviously a comedy, but they put like a horror music musical score on the top of it.
I wrote horror movie music. It was like violins and baby crying like in the background. I was like
constantly
sensory overload, especially because I was in a hurry. I was like, oh my God.
Because I feel like the situation that she's in is stressful enough that they probably didn't even need that for it to be as stressful as it was.
I thought it was good. I thought it was, I liked that they did it. I see what they were doing. I wouldn't have changed it.
But, I mean, overall, I think it was enjoyable. And it also has Heather Morris from Glee in it?
Yeah.
And I always like seeing the Glee
And she was so perfectly cast as well.
Yeah.
The wife, Brendan, she was,
I
just wrote, find your fucking phone so many times in my notes. I can remember, I can't remember what episode it was, but Paul taught us about, or taught me, you probably know all about it. I want to say Chekhov's gun.
Yeah.
Like the minute she put it down, I was like, oh, fuck me, girl. Like, why? You're just like, oh, I took a nude photo. Ugh. Like, I'm going to put my phone like in the middle of this room. Oh, terrible.
And yeah, I don't want to give things away because I do hope people watch this. But I love when the story, as it progresses, it's like, oh, they wouldn't do this to him, and they do it. And it continues, and it's like, oh, yeah, like, of course that wouldn't mean the end of the world. But you just, it just builds that tension. And when it happens, you're like, oh, no, what's the ramifications of this? And, I feel like, I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
I feel like if you didn't.
And everybody looked really sweaty in this movie as well. Like, everyone was like.
Yeah.
And, you know, just when, it, like, all the scenes where everyone was, like, pouring at it and they were doing that kind of, like, that angle that everyone's nose looks really big. It's, like, really close to you. You just, like, feel it. So it was full on. You should, like, I know people can't see this, but my hair looks crazy and I feel like that's representative of how this movie made me feel.
Also, I realized that I named the actress wrong, the one from Glee, but I'm not going to correct myself. So if any listeners out there were upset by that, send us an email. I want to hear from you. So would you put this above Locos por el Cambio, the film
that I'm sorry.
Was recorded?
Yeah.
All right. So that was a pretty successful swap. We all, you know, nobody came out hating their movie, which is a change for us. So what are we going to recommend to each other next week?
So I've got Brendan, So I'm recommending Brendan Waking Life.
Oh, wow.
Waking Life. Oh, wow. What's going on?
No,
I'm just glad. Well, I've already seen it, so she couldn't have given it to me anyway.
But when I recommended it, you hadn't seen it, or you watched it since then?
No, I've seen it. No. Did you re-listen to the episode and I hadn't seen it?
No, I just remember when I said it, nobody had watched it.
I'd seen it. I didn't like it.
Mm.
I think Brendan might like it, though.
It's the guy's name is...
Richard Linklater.
It's animated and...
It's a rotoscope animation.
Yeah. And it's very, free form. Like, it's a whole bunch of people kind of, like... There's no, like, proper thread, really. But...
I'll at least enjoy the animation.
No, I mean, it's, like, kind of like vignettes. And okay. I you'll either like it or you'll hate it. And I'm interested to know.
I think Brendan will like, because he likes like introspective things and thinking about life and whatever.
Yeah.
Not my bag.
Yeah, you're more of like a musical, like Rocky Horror Picture Show on acid.
But what are you talking about? The apple was just so deep, Paul.
There's some deep dicking, but that's about it. all right. I've got Lucy, and I am giving you a movie that I hope Brendan will do his homework and watch as well, because I really want him to watch as well, but I really think you'll love it, Lucy.
It's that Hilary Duff one, isn't it? Selena Gomez?
No. It stars the girl from Stranger Things, like the skinny girl from Stranger Things. I've got her name. But
Nancy Chu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, yes.
Yes, God, yes.
And what's that? Yes.
It's a indie comedy from a couple of years back about a girl from a Catholic school that goes to like a Catholic camp and kind of has her sexual awakening at the same time, and those two forces going against each other. It's set in the 90s, lots of nostalgia.
Yeah,
it kind of has, yeah, it has a bit of the Pen 15 nostalgia vibes to it, where girls are having like sexual mishaps while going through puberty. I really love this movie. So
cool. Yeah.
Brendan, what do you got in store for me?
I feel like you just keep going on about like a solid 20-minute show that makes you laugh. So I'm going to, because I re-listened to Brother Bear just to see why on earth you would be recommending The Apple to our listeners. and then I heard myself talk about Mission Hill and the fact that you had never seen it. So I'm recommending Mission Hill. If you need to borrow the DVD, you're welcome.
Yes, bring it tomorrow for our Oscar lunch.
All right, done. So I hope you enjoy
it. Awesome. Cool. Looking forward to it. All right, so that was another Tenuous Swap episode. As always, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And until next time, I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
I was Brenda Levi.
See you, bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.